And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 715. We're going to continue our team-by-team previews to get you ready for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. We're going to head to the AL Central to a great story from 2024 and finding out, can they give us some more to get excited about in 2025? We're going to be joined once again by a friend of ours, a friend of the fantasy world, a guy that will be getting married in the next year or so. So, you know, this might be one of the last times we see him. You never know. I kid. You can find him over on the blue sky at martytallman.bsky.social. Marty Tallman, how you doing, my friend?
Bubba, I'm doing great. Thank you, as always, for having me on for the Detroit Tigers. This is the first year where I can talk about how we went into the playoffs. And, you know, it wasn't a complete wash of a season, so that's very exciting for me. But yeah, thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Like, this is a good looking club, a young club, so you never know. Like, we kind of talk a little off air, we won't divulge into all that. We'll get to it on the show. But there's a lot to be happy about, which is great. Not to mention, if you're a Lions fan, like, all of a sudden Detroit's looking up, folks.
Yep, man. The cheapest ticket to go this Sunday or this Saturday is $750.
Wow, what a
standing room only. You can go stand in the stadium and not see it. But no, it's been, I mean, I've never had a good Lions team to watch. It's been great.
Yeah, I'm jealous as a Dolphins fan now. They have not won a playoff game since the year 2000. So, yeah, I'm jealous. It's so much fun every year living in mediocrity. So, yeah, you got the Lions going for you. You got the Tigers, who I think are going to be pretty good for a little while, barring something crazy, at least competitive. We'll define good at some point in time, but we'll see all that. So let's just get cracking. You kind of hinted at it, but the question I go before I talk players, what was your overall thoughts of 2024 besides awesome?
Well, it was a roller coaster because the first 70% of the season was awful.
That's true.
You know, eight games under coming that time. So it was just a lot of platoons, and I'll get into team philosophy and what to expect from the team in 2025. But it was dim and awful, and then it slowly built. Like, do you believe in this team? They win again. They kept winning in these ways where Sweeney's catch against Baltimore, where he dives out and we win the game. Like, there's so many different things. So yeah, it was awful, and then it was incredible, and no one could believe it.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, that's the word I think of. It's just awesome. Like, it's awesome. I love watching these teams. Like, I've always rooted for, you know, I joke about bad teams still give good fantasy upside. Like, they're still out there. So, like, as like an analyst, you know, doing this so many hours of whatever, teams like the Tigers and the Pirates, and like, you're always looking at these teams because they're always on the waiver wire. Are you like, you kind of grow up with them in a weird way? So, even though, like, you as a fan, you're obviously dug in deep. But like, I kind of get like, okay, like the Marlins, like, okay, I kind of like these guys. They're fun. Like, there's going to be something there. So as you watch them kind of grow, and then all of a sudden that run, like you said, like the second half was like, whoa, what just happened here?
Yeah.
Scooble just untouchable. You got some other guys doing their thing. They trade Flaherty. You're like, oh no, Sweeney's a stud. You got some other things come. Like, it was just boom, boom, boom. And it's like, you haven't even seen it all yet. That's the cool part.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, you got something good. You got something good, I think.
It's good. The only thing that I don't love is that it proves that this is working for Scott Harris and the president of baseball operations, who is awesome. Scott Harris is a genius. I mean, he brought this whole team together. But it proves that you don't have to spend necessarily to get into the playoffs. So it's now to win, you got to spend. That's what we're seeing. But the squeak in there, you know.
Get there, get those extra checks. Yeah. They're good. That's all they look at. But all right, let's talk players for the 2025 season and get your thoughts on what we should expect. Because, again, young teams, lots of questions still on what we're going to get. And one right out the gates, Parker Meadows, a guy that literally we didn't think would be anything by midseason. Just like he just got sent back down, struggle bust, but then started hitting, gets called up, hamstring injury. We're like, oh, no. Then comes back and still finishes rather well. Now, like, so there's some optimism. Can we pick up where we left off? I don't know. ADP over the last 15 drafts since the 20th of December, 186.7 in DC. So what's your thoughts on Parker Meadows? It's the guy that I'm optimistic on. I just don't know if I should be that optimistic.
Yeah, and before I directly hop into that, I just want to go over the philosophy of AJ Hinch and what to expect out of this team, because it's not like most teams. Almost every single player could be platooned. Every day that lineup will change based on individual matchups, Basically, they're always trying to optimize every single lineup. So just know that going in that most players on the team will be in some type of platoon. Okay, now Parker Meadows is one of those guys that should not be. Number one, he's a gold glove caliber center fielder. Like, it will not surprise me if he's a top three outfielder here soon. Especially with Comerica Park's dimensions, the alleys in right and left center are huge, but he's fast enough to get to almost every single ball. He's incredible. Now, for a fantasy perspective, that means he's going to play almost every single day, whether it's at the top of the lineup against righties and lefties. We'll see how that goes. He should lead off versus righties, but lefties, we don't know. But yeah, he's got the power and speed that you'd want. The only thing, and you talked about it for a second here, is what to expect day one from him, right? Because Parker Meadows last year, he was the first 2-3 months, he was terrible. I mean, his XBA against fastballs was 76.
Oof.
So if you can't hit fastballs in Major League Baseball, you're not going to stay up long. So Luckily when he returned, he started hitting home runs. He was making good contact. And then in the playoffs, he hit safely in the first 7 games of the playoffs, which that means a little bit more, right? Like, you're getting the best from the team. You know, you're getting the best pitchers, and he did a good job there. So I project him for somewhere around 14 home runs, about 22 stolen bases. Hinch isn't known to run, but with Meadows at the top of the lineup for the entire year, I believe they're gonna allow him to get it out there. Average around 240. I think that's somewhere around there. I think that's where his hit tool lands. And when I'm doing these exercises, when I look at the ADP, and I encourage your listeners to do this as well. It's not necessarily where the ADP is. It's who is he around?
Yes.
Right? So Lane Thomas, Brandon Nimmo, Nick Castellanos. That's kind of where he's sandwiched in between. So it's a kind of a, like, would you rather? Brandon Nimmo's a lot more, I think, of a higher floor. Mm-hmm. Castellanos, he's on the decline. I'm trying to stay away from him. Plus, you won't get any speed. And then Lane Thomas, I don't know. So I think where Parker's at, he's worth taking that leap, but I don't know. You may want to go Lane Thomas and get a little bit more of a sure thing minus the playing time.
Yeah, it's a tough one because even Lane Thomas was getting platooned towards the end of the year. Didn't get platooned in the playoffs. Like, there's, and I guess this is why we're talking around 185 to 200. Like, these are the dudes going. You're out for the fours and fives depending on your format when things are said and done. So we'll see. And as Uncle Ted in the chat says, Meadows all day because he's a lefty. It's, if you don't know Uncle Ted yet, he's a lefty homer left and right, literally. All right. You started out saying they don't spend money. How dare you? Because they went and made a big signing with Gleyber Torres.
It's huge.
1 year deal at least, so that's a positive. ADP is 225 over the last 15 drafts. Gleyber Torres, the weirdest statement he said is, I took this deal because I want to gamble on myself. Probably not the ballpark I would have picked to gamble on myself, but what exactly do I know there? He's at least hit you 15 home runs in 3 straight years. That's a plus. Speed's kind of disappeared last year. What are your thoughts on Gleyber Torres? Because this obviously will have a ripple effect on other spots as we get going here.
Yeah, I mean, we were all – Tigers fans were shocked to see this because at first it's like, what happens to Colt Keith? What happens to Spencer Torkelson? And we'll get into it. Gleyber Torres, the only reason why he came to Detroit, I think, is that we weren't going to move him off his position. He's a below average second baseman. But we wanted him enough to allow him to be our second baseman, and we'll kind of go from there. Now just looking at it, here's the good. Unlike New York, he should probably hit, maybe the fifth or second, depending on how well he's making contact, So if he's second in the order, we're going to see a lot more of him. Fifth isn't too bad because the bottom of the Tigers order, and we'll get into that as well, it's rough. So I expect him to have more at-bats towards the top of the lineup. I expect him to run more. And the reason being, I know the Yankees actually had more stolen bases than the Tigers last year, but it's the type of runners players that the Yankees have where you're not going to run in front of Judge. You're not going to run in front of Stanton. You're not going to run in front of Soto. And Torres found himself in that a lot. So he's still only 28 years old. I believe they're going to let him run a little bit more. So kind of what I'm seeing for like a projection-wise, 14 homers, I think around there. That might even be high because of Comerica Park. But I'm going to go with that. Around 10 stolen bases, batting 240. Comerica is going to lessen his home runs. I mean, that's just true. I mean, you can go look at Baseball Savant, and see that. And it really depends. I don't know if you get into this, Bubba, I'll ask you, do you believe in the extra motivation because it's a 1 year deal? Is that something tangible that we can, you know, that's why I drafted him, because he's on a 1 year deal. What do you think when, you know, you hear that argument?
I tend to, you need more than just him saying it. I need a lot of things. And with Gleyber Torres, like I said, if I'm working on a 1 year deal, I'm not signed. At least Tyro Estrada signed with the Rockies. That's a good 1 year deal, I think, to go see where things go. I've always thought Gleyber was good. You mentioned some good points of why steals went down, but to your initial question, grain of salt. Like, it's good to hear they're motivated, but I'd hope every player is motivated. We know they're not all motivated, but definitely a grain of salt. Like, they don't all have, you know, Dan Campbell in there telling them how to live life and getting them going. So,
man, yeah. Coach, he's something else. But actually, speaking of that, I know you're a Baseball Today fan as well, with Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe. And yes. Trevor Plouffe was actually talking about Gleyber earlier in the year. And this is more from like a player's perspective, which I obviously don't have, and neither does Bubba. So yep. He was saying that sometimes you get a little too comfortable where you're at. You don't try as hard. And I guess there was, you know, things in the background about his work ethic and everything like that. So this may be more, it might be more important to him than most, that like when he says this, like, I am motivated, maybe that is true.
Yeah.
But overall, it's going to, like I said, you got to watch out for the power. And for those, and I've heard this argument a few times, like, oh, they might trade him. If they trade Gleyber Torres at any point this year, they owe him an extra $500,000. The Tigers will not do that, I can assure you. So he's going to be the everyday second baseman. I think he's best going to be your middle infielder. Yeah. He should not be your starting second baseman in any league. 15-team league, I'm fine with him being the middle infield.
Yeah, I'm with you, especially on a 15-team. A 12, it's tough because there's, like, what's the ceiling going to be with Gleyber? But 15-team, I like the floor for sure. And if you can figure it out, I'm with you there. And the Plouffe thing you mentioned, I've heard, because I record with Ben a lot, Ben Tidd, who is a Yankees guy, and that was a lot of the rumblings, was attitude. Like, we'd see he wouldn't run a ball out, and they'd sit him. Boone and him were not getting along, seeing eye to eye on things. So there could be a lot to do with that. Like, I kind of could see where Plouffe's coming from there as a player, especially going like, hey, I don't want to be here. Like, I hate this. This isn't good. I need a new lease on life. Like, I do believe in the whole new place to figure things out situation. Sure. I do believe on that, actually. You know, that's like in life in general. Like, a change of scenery is a good thing sometimes. So,
and New York's probably not the best place to be if you need to grow up a little bit. You know, it's like, a tough market.
Detroit could be the perfect place.
A little bit quieter. A little bit nicer fans.
Yes,
a lot of trouble to get there. But he's going around Mikel Garcia, Zach Gelof, Jackson Holliday. So are you taking any of those guys over him? I might go Gelof if I need the if I need the steals. But other than that, no, I'd rather go Gleyber because it's the floor is there.
Yep, I completely agree. I was going to say Gelof if you need speed. Like, I still think Gelof's a 20-20 guy. Bad average crushes you, but I think there's that.
194.
Yeah, bad average going to crush you. But I said it to other guys. Like, I have no idea what to do with Jackson Holliday. I have zero clue what to do with him.
No one does.
I have no idea what to do.
No, I mean, from a scouting perspective, everything's there. When he goes to AAA, he hits the crap out of the ball, and then they bring him up, and he just doesn't look ready. So all the contact metrics, everything says, you know, hold off on him for now. But he's still going. He's still going where proven commodities are because of the ceiling. Because no one knows what it is.
100%. All right, let's go to the big man, Riley Green, who last year put up 24 home runs, a .262 average over 137 games after an injury-riddled 2023. So good to see him play the full season. I don't know if we've seen it all yet from Riley Green, but an ADP of 115, you need to have a good idea of who Riley Green is at that point. So what are your thoughts on Riley, who, again, a lot of optimism. We saw good glimpses of it last year.
Yeah, and you touched on him. He's injury-prone. You know, this is the first year in his 3-year career that he had over 100 games played. So when he's on the field, he's incredible. He's been hurt because he does play somewhat recklessly in the outfield, especially when he was the center fielder, which he is no longer. As long as Parker Meadows, I almost say Austin Meadows every time. I literally have to stop myself. That was awesome. Parker. As long as Parker stays as the center fielder, that means Riley's going to be in left. He won't have to go for as many balls. He won't have to dive as much, et cetera, et cetera. That is good for him because when he's in, I mean, elite barrel rate. I think 30 home runs is a possibility if he can be in 160 games. And I think that's his, I think he can hit, get there. He's going to be in the third spot all year. He should be. So if there's anyone's going to get RBI, you know, or, you know, on this team, it's going to be him. And I wanted to talk about this, and this goes actually goes back to, will the Tigers take the next step? And their hitting has been terrible. Awful over the last few years. Like their OPS, I think it was the 24th and then 27th over the last few years. And we kept our whole hitting staff. So the hitting coach is still there. It's all the same people. So I don't, that's just speaking overall to the team. I don't know if they will take that next step offensively. Riley Green is not in that conversation because he's able to do it. I'm talking more of the guys on the fringe. But yeah, it's, he's really good, but he's injury prone. And I wouldn't expect stolen bases. I think when he first came out, some people thought he could get up to 15, 20 stolen bases. That's not who he is. And the Tigers are going to usually take it easy on him. They don't want to send him too many times. We need his bat in the lineup every day. So, and I wouldn't expect too high of a batting average because he cannot hit lefties. Yeah. He strikes out 30% of the time with a 698 OPS. So, I think that's why he'll stay at that round at 260 range, 265, maybe 270 if he has a really high BABIP. But I think where he's going, who's Cody Bellinger, Christian Yelich, or Pete Crow Armstrong?
Yeah, I probably like Yelich if you believe in the back injury that took place, back surgery that took place. Yeah. And something about PCA gets me a little excited, I'll be honest. The way we saw him finish the season. So him, Green and PCA is a good, I guess, what do you need situation for me.
Yeah, yeah. The higher batting average and tons of stolen bases should be from PCA. Christian Yelich, I mean, talking about go from one injury-prone player to another, but he's actually older. I'm staying away from Christian Yelich just overall. But Cody Bellinger with the first base eligibility, I'm trying to get him.
That short porch and right now.
Oh, short porch and right. And if you can get 10 stolen bases from your first baseman, you're putting yourself in a good position.
And him and Giancarlo have a great relationship, so that's always good. All right. Now, you started out talking about platoons. Here's one that's likely going to take place. Platoon. Yeah, Kerry Carpenter, the big man. This just bombs away. Carpenter had the grand slam heard around the world in the postseason. Well, before Freeman hit his. But Carpenter, 18 homers last year and only 87 games. The power we know is legit, hit 284, which is outstanding last year. ADP is 198. Is this something you're into, even though there's like a 99% chance he's sitting versus left-handed pitching?
Do you know who's right next to him pretty much in ADP? Tyler O'Neill.
Oh, that's a good comp the opposite side. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm in that range here with Kerry, first off, if he hits 30 home runs this year, which I don't know if it's possible, but if he does, we're going to call him Kerry Bonds from here on out because the guy, he absolutely destroys righty. I mean, he has an 18% barrel rate. I mean, it's outrageous what he does. 265 expecting batting average, but you touched on it. He's in a strict platoon. That's going to limit his ceiling. He cannot hit lefties. Not only can he not hit him, AJ Hinch won't play him against lefties. The platoon will always be there. He bats a 202 versus lefties in 134 plate appearances. So he's been in the league for about 3 years and only has 134 plate appearances. So that should let you know something. And here's the biggest reason why you probably want to stay away from him this year. He has reoccurring back problems.
Ooh, yeah, it's not good.
Really bad. Last year, he missed a few months because of a lumbar spine inflammation. So inflammation that's chronic, potentially. And because he swings the bat so hard, at any point, he could have one bad swing and he can miss 2 to 3 months. So he's going to be platooned. He's injury prone with a bad back. So if you've already built in a lot of, you know, guys that you're comfortable with, you think are going to stay healthy, then he may be worth that, upswing. But as of right now, I found myself staying away from him unless you're in a shallow league, anything 12 or below. I think he's worth it. I think there's upside there, but in our deeper leagues, you can't.
Yeah. There's definitely replacement value than the shallower format. So I'm with you on that. He's very enticing. He's a guy I haven't clicked the button on yet, but the power I can't deny, getting close to pick 200 there, 185 to 200. It's harder and harder to find 30-plus home run guys. Like, again, that's the ceiling. We're not talking about floor there, but
that kind of potential. I think the floor is around 20-ish because of
pretty good.
Everything we talked about.
Yeah, that's fair. So, yeah, he's a very, very interesting one. All right. When we started out the show, our good buddy Nick Anderson was watching, and he says, "Welcome to the Matt Vierling show." And I find that funny because I have a sense of humor, and B, most people don't like Matt Vierling unless you're in a deep league on the waiver wire. But let's give him some love here. He's third base outfield eligible. He has an ADP of around 320 over the last 15 drafts, and he hit 16 home runs and stole six bags while hitting 257 last year. So that ADP, that's still pretty sweet. What's your thoughts on Matt Vierling, though? Because this could be a platoon guy. This could be who is Matt Vierling, I guess.
Right, and take a step back, and this is addressing what the Tigers actually need. They need a third baseman.
Yep.
They need a corner outfield.
And I believe they've talked about a third baseman a lot in the news. Yeah,
so we're linked to Alex Bregman. The Tigers have been linked to Anthony Santander. So if they sign them both, I wouldn't hate it. Now, from a defensive standpoint, Matt Vierling is not a good third baseman, and he's not a very good outfielder, right? So they really do need an Alex Bregman. They need a legit third baseman. So if that does happen, his plate appearances are going to go down right off the bat. So just keep that in mind throughout the rest of the offseason. Now, the good, last year he played in 144 games. I bet you most people would think that he played in less games than 144.
Definitely.
You know, I think most people don't think he plays that much. But yeah, he's playing third or he's playing outfield most days. He had a 108 WRC plus last year. So he was doing very well, and he's sneaky. Batted 256 XBA. He squares up the ball a bunch, and he has a sprint speed in the 87th percentile. I don't think a lot of people know that either. He's actually pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So the tools are there. Now, there's just a lot of question marks with what they're going to do as far as who they're going to sign. So he's going to be in a platoon. He has, I think, a good floor, but a limited ceiling. So I would say I projected him somewhere around 10 to 15 home runs, 5 to 8 stolen bases, batting about 250. And when we look at the guys going around him, Brandon Marsh, Jock Peterson, Giancarlo Stanton, or Carlos Santana. So
I like Jock Jams in that one.
Then we get away from the first base outfield eligibility, which
true.
With draft champions season running down, you know, I only have one more left. Like it's the dual eligibility won't be as important.
Yes.
You know, within the Fab League. So you're able to a little bit more flexibility. So, but yeah, if you're, I like the bat of Jock better. Yeah. But I would take Vierling over Brandon Marsh. Yes. I'm avoiding Stanton.
Yep.
Carlos Santana, I mean, he just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you do with that?
We just did our first base preview the other day, and I was just like, dude, like Carlos Santana at his ADP, like they're going to play him. They're going to play him, and he just does it. Look at the back of the baseball card. It's every year. Everyone's counting him out. He keeps doing it year after year. So, like, I don't hate it. His defense is good. That keeps him out. That's why he keeps getting out there. So
I know. Yeah, it's in a Fab League, I like him more as well.
That's fair.
Carlos Santana. Yeah.
Definitely could see that for sure. All right, this is a guy that I have a good amount of shares of already. And at first, when Gleyber Torres signed, I'm like throwing things, like figuratively, not physically, like not happy about this. Just because Colt Keith had an ADP, it's like close to 250 right now, which is to me pretty sweet for a guy playing second base. We saw hit 13 home runs last year after hitting 27 in the minors the year before, stole seven bags, hit 260. I'm like, we're talking middle infielders. Like I was drafting him as my middle infielder. This is awesome. Still qualifies there, obviously. But now with the Torres signing, he's apparently moving to first base. And Torkelson's bon voyage, it feels like, right about now. So how are we looking at this Colt Keith deal? You want to throw a Torque comment in there, knock yourself out as well. But
yeah,
I'm optimistic on Colt Keith, and people tell me I'm overly optimistic on him, which maybe I am.
Of all the players that we don't know yet about what their future is going to look like and what their skills actually are, Colt Keith is the guy I'm the most optimistic on. Just overall. Now, yeah, taking a step back with Spencer Torkelson, the president of baseball operations, Scott Harris, said, and this is, I thought this was funny. He said, if Spencer Torkelson has a big offseason and a big spring training, then he has a spot here on the team. First off, I don't know what it means to have a big offseason. I don't know if that means he's lifting weights, if he's just, I don't know. I don't know what that means. And then spring training, we'll see there. So as of right now, I mean, he could be in AAA.
Yeah.
You know, that's not impossible. We'll see what happens in spring training. If he hits the cover off the ball, he's got a spot on the team. And if he doesn't, then we don't know. But going to the people who are going to be on the team. So Colt Keith, the good is he's going to be, he's already got second base eligibility. He will get you first base eligibility. And that's important because, like you said, you drafted him as a middle infielder. He's a middle corner infielder right now. He's going to be able to move to and from, which that's a positive for him. The hit tool is there. XBA of 266. I think there's even a little bit more power there. You know, I don't think that's impossible for him to get there. But as of right now, he just doesn't hit the ball hard enough. Mm-hmm. You know, and so until we see a little bit higher of a max exit velocity. And it's funny that you brought up Tyro Estrada because he's actually on this on my notes, which it's just funny that lined up. But max exit velocity of 109.4. That's what Colt Keith has. So max exit velo of 109.4. Tyro Estrada had a max velo of 110.5. So if Tyro Estrada is, you know, out muscling you, you know, it's that just shows like where the power may be. So he should bat around fifth, sixth, depending on how things shake out. So that there should be a good amount of plate appearances. But I think for home runs, somewhere between 13 to 15, 5 to 10 stolen bases, hitting about 270. And I'm optimistic on the 270.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of questions. We haven't seen it, but I know there's. It seems like a nice range of potential outcomes with Colt Keith because we don't know. Like seeing 27 homers at AAA, and yes, it is a different hitting environment there. I'm not, you know, going to deny that, but the fact that he's done it, it gives me a little bit of optimism. Mm-hmm. Like we can see this type thing. So, yeah, as a middle infield guy, I'll buy it. If not, you drop him, you move on, see where the world goes. But definitely someone to target for me. Now, we already mentioned Vierling might play third. We mentioned Alex Bregman is on the radar. Well, Jace Young is a prospect that's gotten some hype throughout the system. Got a cup of coffee last year. Wasn't the best cup of coffee, I would say. Maybe need some cream and sugar. It depends on what you want to do with it. But right now, projected to be the third baseman, barring changes. ADP is 510. I have not been able to draft him yet because I don't want to draft him yet. But I could be wrong because some people are very positive on Jace Young. It's just he's young and it's taking some time to get going. Where do you sit on him?
As of right now, I don't believe he's a Major League Baseball player.
Okay.
I don't expect him to be fantasy relevant outside like the deepest leagues. And what a lot of people aren't talking about, and the Tigers actually hid this until December, but in October, he had a wrist surgery.
Interesting.
So first couple months, the limited amount of power that he does have is not going to be there. And then we have to see for him to kind of catch up. So wrist surgery in October, I'm not sure if the bat is good enough. And we need a third base. Jace Young is a second baseman. He's been a second baseman all through the minor leagues. And for some reason now they may want to put him at third. He doesn't have the arm for third base. So that's not going to happen. So I'm not optimistic on him in any way, shape or form.
Okay. Yeah. No, then we're on the same page there. If anything, I think it's a fab move at some point, or maybe
keep an eye out,
or next season. Like, yeah, I'm with you. I just can't draft him. It's like they're going to either replace him or he's not going to be in the bigs. So I don't know where it sits, but you're on the same page, which is good to hear. Now, Trey Sweeney came over in the Jack Flaherty deal last year. I'm a big Trey Sweeney fan. Love what we got. Like again, small sample, but to see four homers, two steals, 218 average. But I'm still young and I'm optimistic. There's more to it. Like from what we've seen in the minor league levels with Sweeney before this. ADP is 452 right now. The biggest deterrent to me, and I still have plenty of, like, he's like a shortstop three for me and a lot of my DCs. I like that kind of floor. I get it though. If you're going to tell me right away, Javi Baez is going to play because they paid him, which is a miserable situation, but teams operate that way. I get it. What's your thoughts on Trey Sweeney? Who's better than Javi Baez, but that doesn't say a whole lot.
$73 million much the Detroit Tigers still owe Javi Baez. Now, that being said, I think it's going to be a 50-50 platoon.
Interesting.
I think we're gonna be the only team in baseball, the Detroit Tigers, I mean, the only team in baseball who platoon their shortstops. So Sweeney's going to hit versus righties, Baez versus lefties. And I think that's how it's going to start. And if it goes, if it works, because I think the Detroit Tigers, as just an organization, they will look at both of them as one person. Right. So when they're actually when they're computing it, you know, the evil genius that, you know, this team is right now, they don't playing time is the least of their concern. So I think it's going to be a 50-50 platoon to start off the season. But other than that, we'll see where that goes. And I plan on getting into Javi Baez a little bit later, but you know, you can kind of just $73 million. That's number one. But Baez underwent hip surgery in the fall. So he's an aging shortstop. He just had hip surgery. So that's kind of, it's not good for him. So I could see Sweeney getting his more playing time if Baez goes down or if he keeps being what Javi Baez is at this point. So I think there's a hint for a little bit of optimism, but that's only if and when Baez really falls.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully. Like again, don't wish ill on anybody, but hopefully see them later. All right. I'm just gonna link this together. I didn't put the name there, but for the catchers, Jake Rogers is the guy for now to start the year. It looks like he's big power bat, average stinks. That's who Jake Rogers has been most of his career. ADP's 495, but you have Dylan Dingler, who got his cup of coffee, kind of more of an up-and-coming potential prospect type behind the dish. Do they want the veteran back there? Do they want the prospect? How do you see this shaking out for fantasy? It's like I said, you got Rodgers at like 495, and you got Dingler at 630, essentially.
It's going to be a 60-40 split, Jake Rogers. Yeah. And the reason being is the Tigers are not worried about his offense. He has the best chemistry with that starting pitching staff and the relief pitching staff, and that means so much more to this team. Yeah. So he is Scooble's catcher. He is all the big. He is the catcher as far as when it comes to being able to call the game and everything like that. So for that reason only, he's going to play more than Dylan Dingler. Now, if Rodgers can get back to what he did in 2023, where I think he had 21 home runs, a little bit of a better batting average, that's going to be excellent. I because he did it before, it's not impossible for him to do it again. But I think he's your third catcher in most DCs. You know, maybe your catcher too, if you feel like you will be able to get that production out of him. And then Dylan Dingler has a higher ceiling when it comes to the bat. Like he's been a slow starter in each part of his professional career. So single A, double A, triple A, he gets there and he freezes up, and it takes him a couple months to get going. And if this happens again with, you know, at the majors, he could maybe turn it into like a 50-50, but it's really just, they absolutely love Jake Rogers because of his defense. And so unless he's completely hitting the cover off the ball, Dylan Dingler, I think it's going to be mostly Rogers here.
And I like what you're saying, because like, obviously I do too many catchers things, and people should be happy I waited till the bottom of this to talk catchers. But it's something I say on a lot of these teams. Like, you have enough talent now in Detroit offensively that taking that defense approach it behind the dish for that pitching staff makes too much sense. Like, we've seen it with a lot of these good teams. Like, hey, I'll sacrifice like a shortstop and a catcher or something. Like, you'll see that on some really good teams because you want that defense up the middle. So I totally get that, a veteran, because you have a young staff. That's real life baseball translation to fantasy is what I'm trying to get to people. It's not always like this cool new prospect who's going to get his chance, like you said. But in reality, the Tigers know they're close to being something special. So let's throw this kid back there, or throw the veteran back there and figure it out. Like, totally get it. And that, might not make fantasy people happy, but that's the reality of the situation, and a good one to be in.
Yep.
Any other sticks to talk about before we head to the mound?
Real quick, Andy Ibañez. I think when there's a lefty on the mound, he'll play more than he should. You know, he can actually, you know, he can still hit lefties. Last year, 154 plate appearances. He batted .292, 4 home runs, 7 doubles. He cannot hit against righties. So if you're doing like in a daily lineup and you need, it's super deep, you can just pick him up maybe for a day or two because we're going against the lefty. Andy Ibañez will play. Other than that, we talked about Javi Baez already. Those were kind of the two ones that stood out. Zach McKinstry, super utility. He is what he is. He'll hit 5 home runs, have 8 stolen bases and a low batting average, but he's good because you need him because he has a, you know, glove that can go anywhere. But I'm not expecting too much from the bench, and a lot of that, Justin Henry Malloy, maybe just keep him on your radar because AJ Hinch and company, they like Justin Henry Malloy. He's essentially like a DH at this point, a 24-year-old DH, which isn't good for obvious reasons.
Not ideal.
No. But yeah, I would just keep an eye on him as well.
All right. Sounds good. Let's head to the mound now where, woo-hoo! Talk about a big guy. Cy Young Award, Mr. Tarik Skubal. coming in with an ADP of 13.5 this year. You and I both thought he was going too early last year. I remember that very clearly because we had the same cautious approach to this, and he blew the doors off my expectations, obviously. Now the question is, where do we go from here, Marty?
Yeah, we were both incorrect. We'll take the L on that one.
Yep.
We never doubted his skills. It's just at that ADP, do you take the pitcher? And now it's end of the first, you know, beginning of the second round in a 15-team league. I don't mind drafting him if, let's say, you get a good bat in the first, like maybe say you're in the 13th pick. You get a good bat and he's still there when it comes around on the snake. That's a good start. But I mean, what is there? The only thing to say about Skubal is his health. You know, I mean, it's been touched on in every single podcast. Yep. The good folks at Baseball HQ give him an F when it comes to health, which is, you know, he earned that. So he could be one. He could be the best pitcher in baseball, or he could, you know, could completely ruin the beginning of your draft. You know, you got to ask yourself, are you comfortable taking a pitcher in the first round? And if so, I think he is. I don't think you can go wrong with Paul Skenes as well. I don't have any Skubal. I have some Skenes. I don't have Skubal. Sounds like a disease. Anyway, so I'm not really drafting him, but I mean, I don't doubt everything he's doing. He's incredible.
Yep.
He's incredible.
Yeah. I'm with you. I have no Skubal yet either. I have like one Skenes just because of the way I've drafted so far. I'm just terrified of those pitchers early to begin with. And like you said, it's not the skills by any means, but you just, like, I don't know, those hitters going so early, anyone can get hurt, but it seems like you're quote-unquote safer, which is never a good word in fantasy with those guys. But, yeah, an elite touring Skubal, what we saw last year, is dang impressive. So,
yeah. 12-team leagues, why not? Take the shot. You know, in your deeper formats, I would wait.
You know? Yeah, I'm with you. Like I'm on the wait approach as well, but it wouldn't shock me if he made me feel foolish once again. Now this rotation gets fun. Like there's
that's a word for it.
Well, because like to me, I look at it, I'm like, okay, I could see the appeal to it, but it's like a lot has to go right type thing. There's a reason they're still talking Jack Flaherty return and some other options, hopefully. But we'll start here with Reese Olson, who's coming off 112 innings pitched, really, really strong, 22 starts, but battled an injury throughout this as well. ADP's 272, and it's like, okay, if we get the Reese Olson we saw, but he goes to 150 innings, that's amazing at 272. What are you thinking here? Because that injury just kind of like keeps me back a bit. And I'm also like, I say it every year, I need to stop being so cautious at certain points of the draft. And at 272, I should probably stop being too cautious.
Yeah, and going around him is Michael Wacha or Nestor Cortez. Yeah. So I'd rather have Reese Olson than both of them.
Okay.
Nestor, it's close with Cortez.
Nestor's close because I dug it's in really on him a close. Lot too. His is,
but I have more Olson already, so I have to say that, you know, yeah, I would go Olson because I don't have any Cortez yet. So here's the good about Olson: he generates a lot of ground balls, thus keeping, you know, the ball in the yard. So that's half of baseball right there. Only walks 7% of hitters. Now the bat is below average strikeouts, and he's often injured, health graded D. So if you've already drafted five starters before him and you're feeling good about it, sure, add him. And I think he'll be able to stabilize your ERA. He'll be able to stabilize your WHIP, but don't expect the strikeouts to be there. And yeah, you have to be cautious because of his injury history.
Yeah, that's the big one. Like, but again, the ADP, I'll play that game, especially in a 10 or 12 team league, you can replace that pretty dang easily. So not a bad, what he showed was pretty freaking awesome too. So
yeah,
I like that upside. Now you have Alex Cobb, who a few years removed, very solid stuff. Last year could not stay healthy between just like groins and blisters and everything else. A whopping 16 innings pitched last year after being really good for the Giants for back-to-back seasons, like really, really good. So I guess the Tigers are banking on, and he was really good with the Angels too. So three straight really strong years before last year's injury situation. So I guess the Angels are banking on that. And with an ADP of 452, are we banking on that?
I have one share of Alex Cobb after he became a Detroit Tiger. But with that being said, 37 years old, he's often hurt. He's one of those weird guys that where his advanced stats are always better than his regular stats. Like every single year, his XERA is better, you know, than his ERA. It's just, it's kind of weird how that always works out with him. But he limits hard contact. He doesn't walk batters. he has a split, he has a sinker, he has a knuckle curve. So he throws junk, and that's for a 37-year-old, that's what you have to throw. So he has the ingredients to still be successful. It's just at that age, I'm not sure. And this is just overall, think about how far, like, we went from Scooble, and now the third pitcher on the Tigers is Alex Cobb.
Yep.
They need another arm too. They yep. need a Jack Flaherty. They need somebody if they actually are serious, and Mr. Pizza Boy finally wants to spend some money on our team.
Mr. Yeah. Pizza Boy.
Man, I could really go into it. Chris stinks.
We had a big Pizza Boy discussion in the Bubba in the Bloom Discord a while back when things were taking place. We had a couple of our Tigers fans in there. So,
Man, I would love to. I should have hopped in. I'm in the Discord, but I didn't see that part.
Yeah, under the radar there. But yeah.
I think he's a streamer in most leagues. And then you got to ask yourself when you're drafting, do you want Andrew Heaney, Charlie Morton, or him?
Yeah.
I think
Charlie Morton, weirdly enough.
I think Charlie Morton, and then Cobb, and then Heaney. I think that's how they rank.
Heaney was sneaky good for a while last year too. Like, that's what's weird. Uh-huh. But yeah, I Cobb, if you could tell me Cobb was healthy, I'd be like, oh yeah, Cobb easy. But that's why he's getting drafted there too. So
yeah, I got him round 31 as my SP10.
See, so I don't mind that.
If he's my 10th starting pitcher, I'm okay. Yeah. You can play the matchups. Especially when he's in Comerica Park.
Yep.
You should be fine.
All right, let's go to a young gun that has spent a lot of time hurt. Put 102 innings together last year, though, which was nice to see in 20 starts. Still didn't show the dominance you'd hope from a potential ace prospect. But again, young, been injured. Going to be 28, though, this year. So not as young as we once thought. Casey Mize, ADP of 460, going about 10 picks after Alex Cobb. How are we looking at Casey Mize? This is the guy I have no shares of because I just don't know where he actually fits, like, long term with what we've seen so far.
I am 100% out on Casey Mize for the foreseeable future. Last year had a 4.35 Sierra and a 10 strikeout minus walk percentage. So nothing good there. Hitters make such hard contact against him. Like, if you look at his Baseball Savant page, it's all blue. When you see any impact stats. He doesn't strike out people. I'm not even sure at this point he belongs in the majors. And I literally wrote this down. He is no longer a young prospect. He's going to be 28 this year. So I believe this is going to be his last shot to really be a starting pitcher, even though it was one of one. I mean, he was first round pick. It just hasn't been there for him. And with this pitching, the Tigers cannot develop hitting. But on the flip side, they are really good to develop pitching. So if they haven't been able to develop Mize yet, I don't know if we're going to be able to. Yeah. It's been a long time.
Again, I think it might have been Ryan or someone else said maybe he should be in a package to get traded for a pitcher from somewhere else because maybe a change of scenery could do him well also. And
I would agree with that.
Because with all the, you got to think about it. Being the number one overall pick, there is a ton that goes with that baggage. Then he gets hurt and kind of can't get off the rails. So, heading out to, somewhere else, go trade him to, he would have been perfect for like a Jesus Luzardo trade or something. Like, sending him, that would have been a really kind of perfect fit, really. But maybe Seattle's got something you could cook up there. Like, I think a good move on his part would be to get out of town.
Yep.
All right. Now the young gun. Like, we talked Scooble last year. Now it's Jackson Jobe. And this is a guy that he combined for 95 and two-thirds innings pitched between the minors and the bigs. So we're kind of talking Tariq Scooble. What are we going to get usage-wise? Now he's not coming off injuries like Scooble. Different story there. But the hype train's ridiculous. The postseason hype was awesome. The place was electric for him. ADP's 295. But what should we expect from Jobe this year potentially?
So speaking with – I have some sources close to the team. As of right now, there's a firm belief that he will be in the starting rotation. So when you're hearing that, yes, there is a possibility he does not start in the majors this year. That's not impossible, even though he is excellent. Baseball America basically said he's the perfect pitching prospect. I remember reading that and being like, well, okay, so he's got to be pretty good if they think that. So he should be up with the team to begin with. He has 60 to 70 grade stuff across the board. I mean, he can strike out hitters from both sides of the plate. He sits 96, 97. We've heard for years how great his slider is, and it is great. And his changeup that he's developed over the last few years has just took him to that next level, took him to the number one prospect level. So he has three excellent pitches. He throws smoke. The question is, do you want to have him or Walker Buehler, Michael Wacha, or Reese Olson? And I, for me, Job, I believe he has the most upside. So if I'm in that spot, if I'm in a shallow league, I'm going Job at that point.
Okay. I like it. No, that makes total sense to me. Yeah, replacement's definitely going to be there in a different league. Take what you can get, move on. If you somehow dazzles, awesome, and see where it goes. Like, the talent's pretty undeniable, but yeah, what's the team going to do is the million-dollar question.
Yep.
Before we get to the bullpen, you mentioned they can develop pitching, and yeah, we have Matt Manning that we've seen signs of. We've seen Keiter Montero. You still have a handful of other, like Tyler Holton was sneaky good last year. I was just looking at another pitcher down here. We'll get to a question here in a second, but Alex Fido or Fado, I apologize if I got that wrong.
Yeah, Fado. Yeah.
What are we looking at as other potential guys, maybe if we're in a deep DC to take some darts at? Because I think we can agree this starting rotation might not look the same by the end of the season.
Yeah. Keiter Montero would be the guy out of all those that, you know, they believe that he's a starting pitcher. Some of those other guys may be best in the bullpen. He pitched the Maddux last year, you know,
that's right.
Complete game under 100 pitches. So I think if you're in your 47th round or whatever, 40th round in a DC over the next few weeks. Why not? Pick him up. Matt Manning. At this point, I don't think he's a major league arm, so I wouldn't draft him. And then when you go into like the Alex Viedo, same thing with him. He's talking about struggling with injuries. So, and now that I'm reflecting, I do say that the Tigers do develop pitching well. I mean, Jack Flaherty, Scooble, but they have a lot of misses in Mize, Manning, Viedo. So, but I put Mize, Viedo, and Manning all in the same bucket right now, as far as they're not worth drafting. You just got to see how things shake out for them, if they're even major league pitchers.
All right. Uncle Ted did have something here I wanted to mention. Do we get Sawyer Gibson Long back this year? Because that was a fun story for a while.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they're just – you can't trust this front office at this point. Yeah. what they're going to do. So, potentially.
All right. Now, if we're moving to the bullpen, that was fun. Brisky, Foley, I mentioned Holton a second ago. We got a little bit of everything in season, and then it changed in the postseason. It was all over the board on what worked. And that's one thing with A.J. Hinch. You mentioned with the hitters, he'll do it with the pitchers too. And it worked very well. Like, he mixed and matched and rode the hot hand and whatnot. Now, going into draft time here, what should we look at as a closing situation in Detroit?
I am surprised where Jason Foley's going. Did you say his ADP?
I did not, but yeah, I know where you're going with this one. I see every DC, and I'm just like, dude.
when I looked at this, it was around 334.
Yeah.
So that's about 22nd round in a 15-team league.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of baseball fans did watch the playoffs and probably might have been the first time they actually sat down and watched the Tigers. So they saw all of this pitching chaos, as you put it on the show sheet. It does look like chaos, except for the fact that Jason Foley has been the main closer the last 2 years.
Yep.
He had 28 saves last year. And there's no way he doesn't start off as the closer to begin with. Like, he will be the starting closer at the beginning of the year. So I'm drafting him everywhere. You say, well, there's so many other arms in the bullpen. I'm like, that goes for every single bullpen. You got to go with the guy who's in the position right now. Bullpen's the only place where I don't draft skills. I just draft exactly where their position. Whether or not they're playing. So as of right now, Jason Foley is the closer. Yes, there's Will Vest. There's Bo Brisky. If you're in a DC, maybe get a Bo Brisky, about 12 rounds later. I did that just to make sure. But he's the biggest steal, I believe, when it comes to getting closers in the market right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I say, every time I see him, and I'm like, what? What are we doing here? So that is, yeah. And people see Vest and stuff, and they're like, oh, look what he did in the postseason. I'm like, yeah, he's good. It's good. But yeah, A.J. Hinch is old school. Just remember that. Like, they have their dudes. All right, what prospects should we be maybe holding on to or looking at deeper in drafts or just on the FAB waiver wire when they come up at some point this year?
So the Tigers, unlike most teams, because they kind of already – all their prospects are up and their prospects are going down and the veterans are coming up. They're coming down. So there's not like there's prospects waiting in the wings right now outside of Max Clark and Kevin McGonigal. you know, who won't be up this year, but they'll, you know, 2026, maybe you might see him. But if you had to pick one, maybe Hyu Lee, the second baseman, the Phillies invested $570,000 in him in international prospect funds, to get him out of Taiwan. So, he has a lot of pedigree. Double A, you know, he had an 850 OPS. So he provides a little pop, some speed. He plays second base. So, I mean, outside of it, only way it would happen if there's an injury, you know. So if injury happens, I'd keep an eye out on Hyu Lee. And then shout out to Jose Brasino, just because of, you know, did you get to see any of his home runs this year in the AFL?
I did not, but it was the talk of the town down there. He's like the Matt Mervis of this year.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be up, and I'm not. Scott Harris answered some questions, and they do like where he's going, but as of right now, he's not there. So there aren't really any prospects that can come up and kind of change the team. We have most of them up. Last year was when we called them up.
That's true. That's good though. They're up. They're doing something. That's a positive. So something to build off in that regard. All right. Last question I have for you here. What are your expectations in 2025?
That wasn't on the show sheet.
I know.
Let me think about this. I'll be honest, a barely over 500 team that might maybe
that can get you in the playoffs.
Right. That might be able to squeak in there. I think it's a lot of the same, unless we see Scott Harris, or I'm sorry, Chris Illich open up the checkbook, you know, and go get an Alex Bregman, go get an Anthony Santander, and just try to add a little bit more veteran leadership and some more proven pop to the team. So where it stands right now, they are a team that got really, really lucky at the end of the year, historically lucky. And without them signing, I mean, outside of Gleyber Torres, they haven't really spent any money. So, I mean, Alex Cobb, I guess. So we don't have four or five starting pitchers per se. And there's a lot of gaps in the lineup with third base and outfield. And other than that, everyone's being platooned. So there's when the more people you put into a lineup, I feel like that's more a bigger possibility that may not work out. You know, it's a lot of moving parts.
A lot more questions potentially.
Yeah. So we'll see. They might be able to squeak in at around 500 into the playoffs.
Can't wait to root for them because they are a fun bunch there, and watching Detroit, that place, they rallied behind the team, which was good to see. They filled that park up, and it's been a while. And I know you were there for some of those games. So that is great to see as well. All right, we're going to wrap it up there, my friend. Appreciate you as always. If you got anything to plug or where they can find you, let them know right now.
Yeah, no, just find me on Blue Sky. I'm in a little hiatus. I was doing, you know, Triple Play Fantasy Baseball podcast for a long time, and we may bring that back up. We're not sure yet. But yeah, just been enjoying drafting, you know, and I think this happens a lot when we are writing and we're doing podcasting and everything. You don't spend as much time with your teams.
Yes.
And so I've been able to step back, you know, and actually be like to really like invest like in myself and into the game. So it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, Blue Sky, that's where you can find me.
All right. Well, everybody go check him out, 'cause he's always a fun guy, and he's posting away over there with all kinds of good data. Like I comment whenever I see it. So our minds are on a lot of the same players, which is never good. But at least
Luis to be in the same draft. Angel Acuña.
Yes, dude. I have so many shares. It's ridiculous. Big fan of that. Well, yeah, make sure you check him out on the Blue Sky at martytallman.bsky.social. And we'll do it again sometime, my friend. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right, everybody. This is Bench with Bubba, episode 715. You're the 2025 Detroit Tigers team preview. Catch you all next time.